together. It's a really Kiddush Hashem, and Yashar Koach to all of you for doing that. My name is Rabbi Sammy Bergman. I am the Sgan Rosh Beit Midrash at Beit Midrash Zichron Zov. And this shiur this morning, which is titled A Breath of Fresh Air, had been dedicated by Ruth and Joseph Rudner in honor of their parents, Zichronam Levracha. The Torah that we learn today should give an aliyah for their neshamot, and all the masim tovim that we should do today should be in their memory. I'd like to begin by actually playing a bit of a game of word association. So if I were to ask any of you, the first idea or word that pops into your mind when you think about Rosh Hashanah, what would you say?
Shofar.
Shofar, good. Anything else? Yeah. Apples and honey, I like that. Thanks. Like from nursery, right? The song? Yeah.
Judgment,
beautiful. Anything else? Judgment, shofar, apples and honey. Yeah. A new beginning, so it's beginning. So we have all these various themes on Rosh Hashanah. We know it's the first day of the year, it's the beginning of the year, it's the day that we blow the shofar. Remember, Alex was just talking about kingship. We're crowning God as our king. It's a judgment day. We're being judged, right? The fate of our entire year is in the balance, and it's being decided that day. And the question is, all of these disparate themes that exist on that day, are they at all connected? Is there anything connecting all of them, or is this Rosh Hashanah a day of many colors? And so that's the I'd like to discuss with you today. Before I begin my remarks, I'd like to just mention that many of my thoughts today are culled from Rav Huttner, Yitzchak Kuttner, who was a prominent Rosh Yeshiva in the 20th century in America. He wrote a monumental work on all the Moedim called the Pach Yitzchak, and this is from Ma'amar Chafei. And what's unique about Rav Huttner's thoughts is what he usually does is he culls a number of sources, and he pulls them all together, and you look at them and you think, how do any of these relate to each other? But at the end of the day, you see how they all can be weaved together in this beautiful tapestry, illustrating the depth and how profound our holidays and many mitzvot are. So I'd like to begin by looking at our first source in Source Aleph. It's on page number 8. You can look in English in Source 1. This is from the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Tes Zayin Amud Aleph 16a. Here we go. So Tanya Amr Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Yekiva. Rabbi Yehuda said the name Rabbi Yekiva. Bipnei ma amra Torah haviyu Omer baPesach. Why did the Torah say bring the Omer on Pesach? We know on the first day of Pesach there is a barley offering that they would bring in the Beit HaMikdash. Why would they do that? Bipnei shal Pesach zman shvuahu. Because Passover is a time of the grain, of harvesting the grain. Haviyu lifanai Omer baPesach kadesh barach lehem shvuah basadot. Right, so since bring in front of me this offering, so that your grain in your fields should be blessed. Why did the Torah say to bring the two breads on Shavuot? We have this unique offering on Shavuot called the Shtei Alechem. Why is it that the Torah told us to bring it? Because Atzeret, Shavuot, is the time of the fruits of the tree. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem, the Holy One Blessed, He says, Heviu Lefanai Shelechem Batzeret, Kedei Shebaruchu Lehem Perot HaYilan. Bring in front of me the breads on Shavuot, so that the fruits of your tree should be blessed. Mufnei Ma Amra Torah Neschu Mayim Bechag. Why does the Torah say to do Nisuch HaMayim, the water libations on Sukkot? What is the reason for that? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, once again Hashem says, Neschu Lefanai Mayim Bechag, Kedei Shebaruchu Lehem Gishmei Shana. Bring in front of me the water on Sukkot, so that the rains of the following year should be blessed. V'imru lifanai b'Rosh Hashanah malchiyot zichronot v'shofarot. And recite in front of me on Rosh Hashanah kingship, remembrances, and shofarot. Talk about the shofar below. Malchiyot kadesh tamichuni aleichem, kingship. In order that you should coronate me over yourselves, zichrono kedei shi'aleh, zichronechem lefanai letova, say remembrances so that your remembrance should emerge in front of me for the good, uvameh, and with what? Bashofar, with the shofar. So this Gemara details all the different mitzvot that we do on these various holidays. It gives us a goal, a theological goal of performing these mitzvot, and it ends with the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. If I were to ask you, what stands out about Rosh Hashanah? in this Gemara, what would you say? What stands out about the way the Gemara presents it? Yes.
The only explanation, I guess, for Rosh Hashanah is the shofar.
Right, it just says with the shofar. Okay, what else? You noticed that, yes? Right, there's nothing being blessed. There's nothing being blessed. There's no, I'm giving this and Hashem's going to bless it for me. Anything else? A very simple point. Yeah.
It's last.
And that's also interesting because it should have been before Sukkot, right? Also a good point. That might be because the things we're dealing with are Dirabanan, right? Saying the different blessings during the Shemona Esrei, Amalchiot, Zerchanon, and Shofarot is a rabbinic pronouncement and not a Torah law. Yeah.
On the other holidays, there's only one thing, but on Rosh Hashanah, there's three things.
Yes. Yes, and this points throughout to our Game of Word Association, right? Every other holiday has one mitzvah that is mentioned. And it's not as if that those were the only mitzvot associated with those holidays. It could have told me, why do we eat matzah on Pesach and give me another reason? But it doesn't. It sticks to one mitzvah on every other holiday. But the Gemara can't go past Rosh Hashanah without mentioning these three themes. Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. And when we think about the three themes, how is it that we accomplish the goals of those three themes? All through the shofar. Right? It's Bameh b'shofar. If you look for a second at source 3, the Riffa makes it very clear. What the Riffa says is, Uvameh b'shofar, source Gimel, Iker apirush da'kulu kai. We'll stop there for now. That what the Riffa says is, this refers to all of them. That we accomplish the themes of Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot, coronating God as our King, bringing our remembrance in front of Him, all with the shofar. So Rehuder starts his piece by asking the following question. Is this something that sort of is coincidental? If we were to think about how is it that we crown God as our King through blowing the shofar? And if we were to think about how is it that we bring our remembrance in front of God? We cause God to remember us through the shofar. Are those two completely different ideas? Is it that the shofar is a way of making God our King, and that's one idea, and then a completely separate idea is that it causes God to remember us? It can't be, because the whole point of this Gemara is that it's all through the vehicle of the shofar blow. And the question is, how is that accomplished? And that's how he starts off his piece. So, in order to tackle this, what Rav Kuhner does is obviously present another question. And for that question, we turn to source number 2. Source Bet, this is the Gemara in Chav Vav Amar Aleph. Says the Gemara as follows. To Amar Achista, Mifnei ma in kohen gadol nechnas bebedei zahar lefnai lefnim lavod avodah. Right, on Yom Kippur, is the day of the kohen gadol who is performing the avodah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the rule is that when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the inner sanctum, the Holy of Holies, he does not wear golden clothing. The usual Bigdei Kunah have a lot of gold in them, and when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, as we're in Yom Kippur, he switches his clothing and wears white clothing. Why is that? Does anybody know? Before we look at the Gemara's answer. Correct, because if he would wear the golden clothing when trying to accomplish atonement and kapara for the Jewish people, it would remind God of the golden calf, and you don't want to mention a sin when trying to accomplish atonement. And therefore, the Kohen Gadol switches his clothing before going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Says the Gemara, Lifnei lefi she'en kategor na ases sanigor, a prosecutor cannot become an advocate, and therefore, the Kohen Gadol switches his clothing. Ask the Gemara, Va'ika bigdei zaham mi bachutz. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. You're right, he changes his clothing when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but when he leaves the Holy of Holies, he puts on the golden clothing again. And he's still in the Mishkan, he's still trying to achieve atonement, so why doesn't he just wear the white clothing the entire time? Why isn't this a violation of this idea that you can't make a prosecutor a defendant? Says the Gemara, Mi bachutz, mi bithnin kamrinan. No, this problem of wearing something that's gold, using something that might potentially remind God of another sin, is only a problem when you're in the Holy of Holies, when you're in the inner sanctum. But if you're outside the Kodesh HaKodeshim, we don't have this problem. Okay, says the Gemara, Shofar nami mi bachutzu. Right? The Gemara says, wait. Actually, a few lines earlier, I didn't bring it here in the source. The Gemara says, why do we use a shofar shel ayil? We want to avoid using a horn of an egel, of a calf, because that would remind God of the golden calf. We don't want to remind God of the golden calf when we blow the shofar. The shofar is for us to achieve teshuvah and atonement, and therefore we don't use a horn of a calf. Simple question. The shofar is not in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. This rule of not using something that reminds God of a sin is only in the inner sanctum, in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So the shofar is not in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So why is it even relevant? Now, it says the Gemara, and if you didn't miss the rest of the source, just pay attention to this line. Kibun de zikaron hu kibifnim dami. An incredibly cryptic line. Since the shofar is there for remembrance, the shofar is there for God to remember us, it is as if it is being performed in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. In some sense, when we blow the shofar, we're in the Holy of Holies. We are in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. What does that even mean? What could that possibly mean? Here we are blowing the shofar. There's a sort of unclear reference to Zikaron, to God's memory, to God remembering us, which to begin with is sort of a difficult idea, because does God need to remember anything? Can God forget something in order to have to remember it? But because the shofar is Zikaron Ka'asi, because the shofar helps God to remember us, it is as if we are performing it in the Holy of Holies, the holiest place in the entire world, and therefore we cannot use a calf's horn. Simple question, what in the world does any of that mean? Yeah. Using a calf's horn? I would assume it always applies.
No, but putting this in the Kodesh HaKodeshim when we hear the...
That's a good question.
I think that's
what I'm asking. So I would imagine this idea of Lezikaron Ka'asi would be particular to Rosh Hashanah. And we'll see, and through the end of the continuation of this year, that why that is so. Okay? So far, two questions. Number one, how is it that we accomplish these ideas of kingship, of remembrance, through the shofar? How does the shofar make God our king? How does the shofar cause God to remember us? And how are those two things related? And number two, what is this idea that the shofar is Lezikaron Ka'asi, that it comes for remembrance, and therefore it brings us on Rosh Hashanah into the Holy of Holies? So we begin trying to explain this idea of shofarot and kingship. So if I were to ask you in a simple way, how does blowing the shofar make God our king? What would you respond? What is the relationship between a shofar and a king? Yeah.
At a coronation,
perfect. Perfect. So what would you say? Simple. It's because when you coronate a king, you blow the shofar. You're blowing the shofar, right? The king is going down there in a chariot with a whole procession and a crowd, and you're blowing the shofar. Long live the king. And that's what we're doing on Rosh Hashanah. So Rav Funder is not satisfied with that. He's just not satisfied, because that's on a simple level, that's true, but is that really all there is to it? We could have used any number of ways to announce God as king, and we could have used a real trumpet, if that's what we were going for. Says Rav Funder, there must be something more to it. Okay, so what is that idea? Says Rav Funder as follows. If you look at source number Dalid, the Psik de Rav Kana, The Medrash tells us something very important that happened on Rosh Hashanah. Tana Rav Ila be'esrim v'chamisha be'elol nivra olam. On the 25th of Elul, the world was created. Nimseit omer b'Rosh Hashanah nivra Adam harishon. Which shows us that on the first of the year, on Rosh Hashanah, Adam harishon was created. That Rosh Hashanah, as we say in the Tefillot, is Zikaron LeYom Rishon. It is a reminder of that very first day, not the first day of the world, but rather what? The first day of humanity. Humanity. Adam HaRishon. Says Rav Putner, this idea of Adam HaRishon being created is not nearly a separate idea. It is part and parcel of what we have been talking about until now. And it is directly connected to the shofar. Yeah. Human in what sense?
Well, my point is, he's Adam HaRishon, and then after the sin of the tree, then that's when they become
Okay, that's a very interesting discussion, which certainly I'd love to have, but I can't really discuss it now. Either way, though, the Medrash says the sin also happened on that first day. So even if that's true, the point still is still relevant. Okay, so the Adam HaRishon was created on the first day. How does God create Adam HaRishon? What does God do in order to create the first man, according to the Pasuk? Yeah, anyone? Correct. So he takes this mound of earth, afar min adamah, he takes the dust of the earth, he blows from his breath a soul into his nostril, and then Adam becomes a living soul. Take a look at source number chet. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim et Adam afar min adamah, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the earth, vayipach ba'apav nishma chayim, and he blew into his nostril a living soul. And man became a living being. And the Ramban explains the depth and profundity of this idea. Because what could that mean? God blows a living soul into man. Clearly, a very extreme use of anthropomorphism. God blowing a soul from within himself. Says the Ramban as follows. V'yipapapap nishma chayim. Yirmoz lanu akatuv hazeh malat hanefesh yisoda visoda. The Torah is hinting to us the great level of the soul and its secret. The secret of our neshama. Ki yisker ba shem malay. It mentions the full name, God's full name, God, Yudkei Vavkei, blew a soul into man. V'yomar hikihu nafach ba'pav nishmat chayim. And it says he blew a living soul into his nostril. Right, the soul did not come from any other source. The Ramban has this theory that God used what he believed in, the four elements, right? He used the earth to create some things. He used the wind to create some things. Not for our soul. Our soul did not come from anything else. He ruach Hashem Hagadol. It is the breath, the spirit of God's name itself. Mipiv da'at utfuna, wisdom and knowledge from his mouth. Ki anofeach ba'pei acher, minishmato yitim bo. That someone who blows into someone's nostril, right? The only thing I can think of is when you're resuscitating someone, what are you doing? You're taking your internal breath and literally blowing it into them. And the greatest way that the Torah can demonstrate the uniqueness of the human soul is to say that God blew into man's nostril. As if to say that something from within God himself, kivayachol, was blown into man to create him. And says Rav Huttner, we had this mitzvah of shofar, which is blowing, and the creation of man is one which was done through a nishima, a breath of God himself. And the two are meant to be put together. Because as Alex mentioned, when does God ultimately become king over the world? When Adam HaRishon is created. On the sixth day of the week, on Friday, on Yom HaShishi, we say Hashem Malach, God is king. Because when does God become king? When Adam HaRishon, who can recognize and contemplate and be cognizant of God's kingship, is created. So just like God brought his kingship into the world through an act of breathing, of breath, into Adam HaRishon, on Rosh Hashanah, when we crown God as our king, what do? We blow. We blow the shofar. And the our kingship, the kingship that we do when we anoint a king, the reason we blow the shofar, yes, it has to do with the coronation ceremony, but it's deeper than that. It is not just about sounding a trumpet. It is reflecting the kingship of God over the whole world, which was also performed through the act of blowing, through the act of nishima. And that is what the Gemara means when it says, according to Rav Huttner, that we crown God as king through the shofar. What we are doing is connecting to that first breath of God into Adam HaRishon. That is what we are remembering on Rosh Hashanah. When we hear the shofar, we should be thinking about the fact that God blew a living soul into Adam HaRishon and then became king. And that is the idea of Malchiyo. Any questions before I move on? Yeah?
That just suggests that it's not just that we recognize Hashem, but we have the free will to be able to choose where to live. And that's why that soul is different from the other living beings that have souls maybe, but not free will, choosing souls to come in.
Right, 100%. Free will, it's our cognizance, it's our awareness, our choices to make God king. And all of the things that Rav Alex was talking about in the previous year are obviously relevant to this idea that our existence, we have to actively make God our king. It doesn't just happen by itself, but the creation of man made that possible. Yes?
The other thing is, now we also have to answer the question, why a ram's horn? Like, that's going to be...
That's a good question. The Gemara talks about how it's supposed to remind us of Akedah Yitzchak. That's a good question. Okay, now we get to Zichronot. And I'm going to tell you that I'm going to need your help for this, because this is so deep and so profound that I cannot honestly say I fully comprehend the depth of Rav Huttner's idea, but I'm going to do my best and share it with you, and maybe you can help explain it to me afterward as well. Rav Huttner says, notes the following. When Hashem wanted to create Adam HaRishon, the Gemara tells us that the angels in Shemayim were not very happy about this idea of creating mankind. That is based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin Lamechel Mabet in Source Zion, which says as follows. We're on page 9. Source Zion. Amr of Yehuda Amar Rav. Yehuda said the name of Rav. B'shah shebikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu levarot et Adam. When the Holy One, blessed be He, wanted to create man, Barak Hatachat Shemalachei Asherei, He created one group of angels. Amar Lahem, Ritzonchem Naaseh Adam B'Tzalmenu. He asked them, and this refers to this very difficult question, why does it say, Na'aseh Adam, we shall create man? Wasn't there only one being creating man? Why is it we? Says the Gemara, because God consulted the Malachei Asherei. So do you want me to create man? Shall we create man? Amru lefanav, ribono shel olam, ma ma'asav? What are the things that man does? What do humans do? Amr lehen, kach v'kach ma'asav. This and this is what he does, right, man? And Hashem described the physical activity, the daily activity of humankind. Amru lefanav, ribono shel olam, ma enosh ki tizkereni. What is a man that you should remember him? Ben Adam ki tifkedeni. What is a human that you should think of him? So Rav Huttner asks a very simple question. When the angels tell God not to create man, what do they say? Ma enosh ki tizkerenu. What does lizkor mean? To remember. Isn't that a strange choice of phraseology? Should it not have said, ma enosh ki tivra enu? What is man that you should create him? What is man that you should make him? What does remembering have to do with anything? Why is it when the angels tell God not to create man, they say, ma enosh ki tizkerenu? Why is it that you are remembering humanity? And what Rav Huttner tries to prove is that you see from this that the idea of creating man is relevant to memory. To memory. To God's memory. Why is that so? How could that be? Why is memory relevant to the creation of man? Yeah. Okay, relevant to that, but how, where does memory come in? If it's outside of time, what is God remembering? So Rav Huttner says, the basic faculty and ability of us to remember, what are we doing when we remember? We are connecting the present, the past to the present. We are making our history part of our living present. That when we remember, we are making a connection between what has happened previously, even previously to our own lives, and what is currently happening. When God remembers, what that means is that there is a continuum between the beginning of time and where we are today. Without memory, time would be a number of disparate moments in existence. When 1 second happens, it is finished and gone forever. And then the next second happens, and then that is finished and gone forever. The ability of memory, of zikaron, is the ability to connect all those dots and make history a continuum and a development. And so says Rav Huttner, what does God remember when He remembers, quote unquote? What does He remember? He remembers the most important moment in the history of the world. And that is when God created man. And memory, God's memory, is God's ability to connect to that time well before the creation of the world, to that monumental time in history right after man was created, and to our time today. That the history that we are living is not meant to be looked at as just a moment in time, but it is a continuum from the very beginning of history. Says Rav Huttner in source number 8. Umeata, and now, and again, it's so deep. It's so deep. We need to look at the word so carefully to understand it. Yafek kitrigu malchei asheret abriyat adam b'omram ma'anosh kisiskereni. The angels protested well against the creation of man when they said, what is man that we should remember him? Klomar kivnu et chod ha-kitrog kelapea nekuda merkazit b'yitzirat ha-adam. They targeted, they aimed their protest against the central point of creating man. Nekuda merkazit zuhi hi yitzirat gesher kesher min otem matzav shel fnei ha-nafachta im otem matzav shel ha-achar ha-nafachta. That the creation that God is doing, the remembrance is connecting that point where God blew a soul into man, the moment before that, and the moment afterward. That from that time, history is beginning and continuing because man can remember and connect history. The essence of memory is that ability to create that connection between past and present, and the ultimate connection between past and present is the time before God created man and the time afterward. Says Rav Huttner, Kol neshima ba'ahi mipnimata shahanoshem. Every breath comes from the insides of the breather. Umitzvat shofar shehi a mitzvah yechida hay mikayemet bekoach haneshima uzmanaki biyom shel yitzirat ha'adam. Shofar, which is the only mitzvah which takes place through the breathing faculty, and takes place on the day that man was created. Mit yacheset hila otan neshima shavayipach ba'apav. Connects to that first breath of God into mankind. Umitokach ha-shofar zikaron ka'atzi. The shofar comes to cause God to remember. Lafoch ha-kitrug me'enosh kitiskerenu. To counteract that protest of the angels. When they say, who is man that you should remember him? We blow the shofar. We blow the shofar, which reminds God of that first point where he blew a soul into us. And we say, no, you should create mankind. That history should begin from that first moment of breathing into man's soul and continue to where we are today. And where does the breath of God come? It comes from the holiest place. And when we blow the shofar, we're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We're in that inner sanctum. We're relating to that deep place, the indescribable profundity of God blowing a soul, a living soul, into humankind. Achelek elokam mimal. Harei me'alehem d'me'em d'vrei ha-gemara, the last line. By themselves, the words of Gemara illuminate. Shofar kevan lezikaron ka'ati kelefnai velefnim damu. The shofar, since it causes memory, it causes God to remember. It causes God to remember that first moment. It is in the inner sanctum. We are in the Kodesh HaKadoshim when we connect to that first nishima, that first breath of God into ourselves as a living soul. And what Rav Huttner, I think, is saying, and the take home for us, is that on Rosh Hashanah, when we hear the shofar, we are not just standing there as individual people. We're not only doing teshuvah and trying to return back to God, but we are standing there as a continuum of the totality of humankind and human history. And we are beckoning to God, please continue this trajectory that you have started with humankind. Please remember us and remember that first moment when you blew a soul into humankind and let us continue that tradition. And in this merit, in remembering the shofar, as we remember the fact that God blew a soul into us and that He is our King, and that we are a part of this trajectory, may we be zocha that God should remember us for a good year, for ourselves, for our families, and for our entire communities. Thank you for listening, and have a wonderful day. Ketivah v'chatima tova.
Thank you very much. If we could just
let's go outside, yeah.
Isn't Hashem outside of time?
Yes.
Then how can we say that He's connecting to our previous time?
It's not an excuse time to Him. The point is that do you...